and Kerrigan Bay also. Look, it should be a wonderful, nice racing at Wentworth Park tomorrow. And just a quick one, there's big racing going on elsewhere across the rest of the country. Don't forget we've got the conclusion to the Dubbo Carnival on Sunday night. Some great finals in store there, mate, including the Cosmic Rumble Gold Cup final. I'm going for Tullabong Honey to take that one out, but look, should be a cracking night at Dubbo on Sunday. So all in all, look, it's going to be another brilliant weekend of greyhound racing across the country. And don't forget, field form and expert picks are available now at thedog.com.au.
Good on you, Stuart, and we'll hear you on Chasing and Pacing Rewind, which is on every Sunday at 10:30 with Hazy and Stuart, and they wrap up all the weekend's racing. Thanks a lot, Stu.
You take care, mate.
Stuart Turner there from Greyhound Racing New South Wales, just running a little bit late for the first here at Blenheim. So we'll wait and see what they end up doing with Kate Kidnappers and Miss Cover Girl out of the same stable of Kelly Sweeter. Do they run or don't they run in feature races at the Gold Coast tomorrow? What about this one? Sean Cosgrove is about to join us with Tab Talk. If Rudy wins the Hollandale tomorrow at the Gold Coast, the Gold Coast Turf Club have announced that they'll turn on the taps in the public bar if Rudy wins tomorrow.
It's worth flying up.
I reckon it is.
Just to be, you never know. You're lucky.
Well, the way Helen Page said to me this morning off air, we might be badly weighted, but this horse is in good form.
And, he is.
Looking forward to that, and I reckon there'll be plenty getting to the Gold Coast. The locals will get there. It's been publicised in the local papers this morning. So if Rudy wins, the Gold Coast Turf Club turns on the public bar.
And when that happens, sometimes people develop a separate throat. It's like a downpipe.
Yes, it is.
It's just nothing stops it. Just goes straight down.
It is. It is. All right. So now you've got Tab Talk coming up after this race at Blenheim.
Buzz Rothfield.
Buzz is on.
Yeah, looking at the NRL. And I spoke to Cathy Chapman last night. She's got a few runners at Grafton, but she's on holidays. You love who the fill-in trainer is. I think he's off the bench. Neville Stewart.
Neville Stewart.
Neville's looking after the horses. I spoke to Neve, and we'll have a chat with him this morning as well. Of course, he knows what winning a Grafton Cup's all about, winning one with Abstraction there years ago.
Yeah, exactly. All right, stay around because it's only a minute or two away is Tab Talk here on Sky Sports Radio. Don't forget, we're back tomorrow morning. There'll be plenty of people up early for obvious reasons on Anzac Day, but we'll have all the normal race coverage and paying respect to all the servicemen and women that have served Australia. That's tomorrow morning on Anzac Day morning, on air at 6:30, and we'll be giving you the latest, of course, for Raw Randwick, where that track appears not too bad. This is Blenheim, race number one. The favourite is number four, Ben's Lass, $5.120.
It might just about be it. And Miss Buffo as well. Let's hide him over there as well.
Five and Murray 11.
So on the rise, goes into the gates, just duly found up. And Miss Buffo now to complete the line. The 1,000 metres. Starting the day.
Watch your gate.
Off and racing. And one of the first away from out wide was Loyalist. Easy Chair jumped out of the gates fast on the rise from towards the outsider. Trying to go forward early too. Pushing between horses also is Ben's Lass on the way forward as well. They break away by length now on Madame Roxy. And that group also now is Ruffle. And out a bit deeper on the track is Never Tell. A length and a half away then Julie found her from well back in the field. Also now is Witch Hunt. Two lengths away then to Paintball, who's got well back in the field. And also is Excuse for Fun. And four lengths away to the last one as they come up towards the home turn now. And that is going to be well back in the field now is Miss Buffo. Around the turn they come, 350 to go. Easy Tear line them up now from Loyalist the outside. Ready to pounce also just back in behind them now and looking for a gap is Witch Hunt. Then Madame Roxy wider out, Ben's Lass and Never Tell down the udder. Still in front is Loyalist and starting to pull clear late from Easy Care. Witch Hunt, Never Tell, but the first starter in Loyalist. Loyalist beats Never Tell. Close up in third spot also now as they go across would have been right there Madame Roxy, Easy Care and Paintball who was hitting the line well. Then followed over then by Witch Hunt. Close up also as they went across the line was Miss Buffo who made up a bit of ground. Then came Julie Founder. Wider out on the track, back behind those was on the rise, back with Ruffle. Ben's Lass pulling up quickly, back with Excuse for Fun, and it'll be one of the last to go past.
And the winner number 11, Loyalist, paid $13.20 and $4.60. Six Never Tell at $2.40, and it's a photo for third. Our next race is the first at Addington Greyhounds in about 5 minutes. The favourite at this early early stage is number four, Dirk the Jerk, at $1.70 fixed odds.
Starter has the button, stalls are back and racing.
Field bent on their way to the roar of the crowd.
Set.
You're off on your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio. It's time for Tab Talk. With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
And it is 6 past 10, Sean Cosgrove, Glenn Munsey, tab.com.au. Good morning, how are you?
Oh, very good, thank you, Shawnee. How are you this morning?
Mate, fantastic. Well, it's made vision all around the world. Blake Chin yesterday, he's going to ring but didn't want to butt in. But anyway, it's there, isn't it? What a sight.
Yes, better sight if you're in front of him.
Yeah, I mean, all you got to say really is this.
I tell you what, that voice sounded very familiar at the end there, Sean.
Mate, that was me in 1992.
Oh, still getting royalties.
You're kidding. Mm. No, I never saw any out of that one. Don't worry about that.
Didn't even throw a spare pair at you?
No, not even a spare pair of jocks. But anyway.
Blake could have done with them yesterday. I tell you what, credit to him. Yeah, he's really, really handled it well, Blake. And these sort of situations, Sean, when people are taking the mickey out of you at your own expense.
Fun.
I tell you what, he's really relished it, Blake. I don't know whether he relished the attention, but the exposure, to quote a better word. He's got plenty of it. He's been on, I think he was on Sunrise this morning. It made, as you said, made news all around the world. And a real good bit of banter between Blake and a few of his fellow jockeys.
Well, he's a good sport. I mean, those things happen. It's, as I say, a wardrobe malfunction. You got to just wear it, and well, he couldn't quite, and live with it, and he's done the right thing. It's all in good spirit and all in good fun.
Well, Sean, I can guarantee you I've got two belts on my pants here this morning, just in case.
What, one over the other, or just joined to fit around?
No, joined, yes.
Okay, fair enough.
Thanks. Now,
Blen, I'm 11.62 official there. Number 11, Loyalist, paid $13.20 and 4 66 Nevertel has returned for the place, $2.40, and two paintballers paid $2.30. And Buzz Rothfield joins us now with his strides up. Morning, Buzz. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Yourself?
Fighting fit we are. Big weekend coming up.
You got Mums in there today?
He's sitting there.
I've turned up, Buzz. I had to be here today after Monday night. I couldn't let you have all the glory.
Ooh. Oh, right. I'm just wondering if you can put up another market when Corralla are going to win the next game. We've won three straight since your last effort.
Would you like us to put up a market? When will Cronulla lose their next game?
No, please don't.
Yes. Because Buzz knows that every time we put a market up, if a side is travelling well, we could put a market up when will the Dragons lose their next game. They would lose a game. They've won five in a row. They'd lose a game within the next 2 weeks.
Well, they'd lose tomorrow by 20 if you did that.
Yeah, and if we put a market up, for example, on North Queensland, when would they lose their next game, having won four in a row? They'll probably get beat by Newcastle.
Sure.
And that's happened, I'd say, from the first time we ever did it, probably 10 years ago.
You're the kiss of death.
Oh, we are. Yeah. Coaches hate it.
The interesting thing is, guys, and the TAB bookies, St George are flying, but they've started outside us in seven of their eight games this year.
Yeah, well, I just think that, the guys evidently think that when they do their ratings on a team, their team is not, you know, up to the par of their opposition. But, Buzz, it proves day in and day out. You know, you might, a team of champions won't beat a champion team.
No, 100%. And you know what the interesting thing is about this massive game tomorrow? You know it's my favourite game of the year, Roosters, Dragons, Anzac Day. You've got the Dragons who've got the best defence in the competition, and the Roosters, even though they're well down the ladder this year, have still got the best attack.
Mm.
So it should be just one sensational game of footy.
As it has been the last few years, Buzz. You know, no matter where these two sides have been on the competition table, when they meet on Anzac Day, they provide a sensational game.
Yeah, I look at it this way. We've got the grand final, we've got three State of Origins, and this is my fourth favourite game of the year. And The fact that it's become such a special day, Anzac Day, and I think it's grown, and our respect has in, you know, the last 10, 20 years. And, you know, I know the players that, you know, who don't play in this game at Allianz Stadium are very much envious of the Roosters and Dragons that, you know, they get to do it in front of the last post and a full house at that ground. And, it's a wonderful game, a day for rugby league, and it should be a sensational match.
Buzz, will come back straight after this. The first Addington, they're loading.
Dirk McGirt is the favourite off the four box here. The Super Pets maiden sprint, 295. The green light is through, and the bunny set of motion. They're about to jump. All set. Racing, and the best out would have been Bella Grayson showing up there around the outside. We've got another pearl. Here's Dirk the Jerk coming right into it. They're followed off the track by Coleridge Jim. Very wide out, John. Back we go. Sakatuwea around the corner, getting away in front. Bella Grace, Dirk the Jerk down the outside. Too late. Bella Grace a neck. Big Dirk the Jerk, four back out. John third. They're followed by Sakatuwea close up. So too is another pearl. They're followed by the next Aaron Crossing would have been Lucas Scott, Coleridge Jim, another rush towards the tail.
Now the numbers here will be 3, 4, and 2 over the line. Number 3, Bella Grace, 8.41.90 for Dirk the Jerk, paying 140. And 2 hour John, 5.50. But it's interesting what you're saying, points for and against. You look at the Cowboys at 146.4, 151 against. If their defence improves, are we likely to see them just all of a sudden go whoosh?
Yeah, the thing with the Cowboys, and I'm sure you'll find that their defence was very, very ordinary in the opening three rounds, and, you know, that they got off to such a sluggish, slow start at the beginning of the year. But, you know, they've got it back in order, and this game against the Knights, I think, will answer a lot of questions, and we'll see how far they've come in a month since they last played in Townsville. And, look, I think they're the side that everyone fears this year, and what they've done in the last month is pretty spectacular with the form of their Test and Origin front rowers. This hooker they've found, this guy Jake Granville from the Broncos, hasn't he added something? You know, three tries out of dummy half last week, and Jason Tamalolo at lock forward. You know, their pack is going probably better than any other forward pack in the game. Then you throw Thurston and the rest of them into it. It's not hard to see why they keep winning.
Buzz, we spoke about, it's an Anzac Day clash. Of course, it's the 2 o'clock game on Anzac Day, the Roosters and the Dragons at 4 o'clock. Your opinion on the NRL putting all their eggs into the one basket with these five games on Anzac Day?
I think personally, look, I don't want to bag them. I think it's a little bit of overkill, and I think it could be dangerous in the fact that it might take something away from the Roosters-Dragons game, which I think has just got that much standout appeal, it's not funny. Look, 10 hours of rugby league is too much for me, but they're trying something new. They're playing these games in different cities, like you've got one in Newcastle, you've got one in Auckland, you've got one in Sydney, Brisbane and Melbourne. So, look, they are trying, but for me it is too much. And, you know, like, we don't have a Monday night game this week, which I think is disappointing. I think, you know, fans get through the weekend and, you know, look forward to that game. They've got their all-up bets going into it. They're in their tipping competitions. I wouldn't mind. I like two games, you know, possibly three, but I think five's too many. What do you guys think?
You start spreading the crowd pretty thin, Buzz, don't you?
Well, you do. You know, it's okay having only the one Friday night game, but I defy anyone particularly in a family situation, to be able to sit in front of a television you know, tomorrow morning and watch the Warriors Titans and be still there late tomorrow night watching the Broncos Eels. So I just think it's too much.
I think plenty of single blokes would appeal to them a lot more than blokes, married blokes with families. I think the remote control would be taken away from you, I'd say, around about 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon if you're lined up at 11:45 to watch the Warriors. And being
it must
a Saturday,
be a
Buzz,
massive day, though, months for the TAB when you're doing entire days racing in all states, plus all this sports betting, which is just growing unbelievably. Have you got enough staff? Tell me you'll be answering phones.
I'll be at Royal Randwick, Buzz.
Okay.
Yes, I'll be attending Royal Randwick. But
you're multi-skilled.
And I can answer phones there. I answered a few questions of customers yesterday at Canterbury, which I'm dealing with this morning. And, I'm just giving myself.
Oh, good on you.
Yeah. And, mate, being a Saturday, you just mentioned that, you know... we've got a situation here. We've got all these games on a Saturday, and we've got all the normal Saturday activities happening as well.
Well, that's right. And look, and you guys would probably agree, Anzac Day in this country is growing and growing and growing. And we've learnt to respect our great old diggers even more so than we did in the past. And look, it's... You know, I know all junior sport's been cancelled around Sydney, you know, so the youngsters can pay tribute to these people. Mm. But again, I get back to the fact I personally think it's a little bit of overkill. I guess their crowds will be very interesting because the fact they are playing in five different cities and they'll probably get a lot of people through the turnstiles to these games. But what I'm looking at, the big picture and the television coverage and the radio and the races and everything else that's on, I think it's just too much.
Well, it's all compressed because nothing starts till 1 o'clock either.
No, well, that's right, and goes through till, you know, very late in the evening. But, you know, I don't want to bag the NRL all the time. They're trying different things, and I guess we'll find out when we see the ratings, the crowds, the betting figures and everything next week, you know, what sort of success it's been. And look, it's like everything. It's public demand that long-term decides all these issues. And, you know, if people like it, it'll stay. If people don't like it, I'm sure it'll be scrapped next year.
Who do you like best bet this weekend, Buzz?
Well, I got my best bet Cronulla up last week in the Cyclone at Shark Park. Were they my best bet? I think they were.
Oh, they are every week.
Hey?
And you... You've done that well, Buzz. You even got Warren Smith to mention the King Juan during the Fox Sports coverage on Monday night.
Yeah, I know. Well, he'll give me a 10% discount on my birthday again, which is...
Every week.
Yeah, please. look, you know what? I'm really liking the Bulldogs to beat the Tigers tonight, head-to-head and at the line. I'll tell you why. I think the Bulldogs, if I had to have a choice now of any team to play in the grand final, would be the Bulldogs. I think once they get Graham and Clemmer back, they will have the best pack in the competition, bar none. I think Hodkinson and Reynolds, Josh Morris, Brett Morris in the back line, with Curtis Rona, who's just come from nowhere this year, I honestly think they're the team to beat, and I think they'll be far too strong for the Tigers tonight. It'll be disappointing. And I'll tell you what, the spotlight's on the young halves, Luke Brooks and Mitchell Moses, because they probably haven't come on like we all thought they would this year.
Okay, well, that match tonight at ANZ Stadium, 7:45 kickoff, so it'll probably be around about 7:52. But the Doggies are favourites tonight at $1.75 and the West Tigers at $2.15. So Buzz going with them. Any other... good things, Buzz. Can your boys, the Sharkies, plenty of conjecture whether or not James Seguiaro will play on Sunday.
Yeah, look, we were originally told, and it was all over social media, that he was going to be out for 4 weeks. But I spoke to Tom Sangster yesterday, who puts together, you know, he's got a very detailed guide on all the team changes. He seems to think there is a very slight chance he'll play. He certainly won't be out for a month, and Penrith probably won't tell us till lunchtime on Sunday. That'll be a very interesting game, and the Sharks now, with their 3 wins, are understandably favourites. But, you know, Penrith has more depth than any other club, and, you know, since Phil Gould and Ivan Cleary got there, they've bought particularly well. And you look at that back line they've got, you know, with Matty Moylan, you look at Dean Farah, who's back from injury, Wakar Blake, the brilliant winger, Zeleniak. You know, they're a good side, and they've still got a strong forward pack, so that game isn't going to be easy for the Sharks.
Yeah, well, they're 1:45 to 2:15, Penrith, and Cronulla are 2:55 to $1.72 over the last week.
And Penrith will get out even more if it's confirmed Seguiaro is out, and I think a lot of that money, that drift, has got the fact to do with the grave doubts whether he'll play or not.
Mm. Buzz, we're going to have to dash. Which one do you think is the biggest risk this weekend? The biggest risk. Which side do you think is most likely? You look at them on paper. Yeah, they go all right, but you think it's the biggest risk?
I think the Dragons are the biggest risk this weekend. You know, I wouldn't be... I just think the Roosters are so long overdue. I think they haven't had a lot of luck in recent weeks with 50-50 calls. So yeah. I think they're good things on Anzac Day.
Terrific, mate. We've got to go. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
See you, guys.
Bye. Thanks, Buzz Rothfield there. Now, they're about to go at Blenheim. Straight after this, Neville Stewart's going to join us. He's looking after Cathy Chapman's horses today at Grafton. He's come off the bench to help out. Now, actually, we're going to Neville right now. He's joining us. Neville, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? You've been a busy man. Cathy's on holiday. She gets back on Sunday, and you've come off the bench to help out.
I have. I haven't been in this game for a while, but it's all been good, and get back in it a bit and give me something to do.
Have you enjoyed it?
Oh, I love it, yeah.
Well, you've had success in your own right. You won the Grafton Cup there with Abstraction. That was a few years ago?
It was a few years ago. A bit too many years ago. But anyway, you know, we had a bit of luck around here. I trained here for about 19 years, and we had good fun here. Yep.
Well, I looked back earlier on, December 19, 1984, a horse called Box... Box Prince. I think
Box Prince, won 15 races with him. He was sort of the start of my career, or round about the start of my career at Grafton, yeah.
And he was your first city winner?
He was, won at Canterbury, yeah, my word.
There you go.
Peter Stanley.
Now, I've got to ask just quickly, before we go through Cathy's horses, did one of your good horses go on to star in a movie?
Well, it was Abstraction. He starred in the movie before he won the Grafton Cup and that, yeah.
What movie was it?
It was a runoff of the Black Stallion.
Yeah.
Yeah, met Mickey Rooney and that in. It was filmed in New Zealand, I think.
And then you got hold of him and won the Grafton Cup.
Yeah, well, he'd been a pretty good horse beforehand. I think he'd won a Wagga Cup, Albury Cup, and a Clowder Cup, and a Durban Cup, a Group 1 up there, and he'd sort of been in the back burners and went through a sale for not much money, and a mate of mine bought him, and was tied up with Heath Harris and that, and that's where he went to the movies. He come back here, and I think he thought he was going to win a race too, and I was like, oh, what am I going to do with this? But anyway, he turned out good.
He wouldn't have worried about a photo finish, would he, Nev?
No, he was good that year. He won the Grafton Cup and Cotswold Cup double that year.
Fantastic. Now, you've got you're looking after four today for Cathy. Western Desert in the first, with Priscilla on board.
First, yeah, nice filly. Yeah, she ran a good race here, first run up in this area, and dropping back to 1,200 today from the 1,400, but the form back in the fillies and mares doesn't seem overly strong. I would sort of nearly expect her to win, I think.
All right, Southern Eagle handled the wet well last start.
Yeah, I don't know much about the rest of them, but they all look good and bucking their brand off. And, I would expect them all to run pretty good races, yeah.
All right, these days, what are you doing? Have you just retired or you just...
No. I've kept my trainer's license. I've had it horse and work for just over 3 years, but I ventured down to Victoria for the last 2.5 years driving horse loads around there. I thought, well, I want to look around. I'll get paid to look around. So I've run around Victoria and up the Riverina to Dubbo every week, and it's been great, yeah.
Mm. Neville, Glenn Munsey, mate, how are you?
Good, mate, good.
Right, so how's the track there going to be? You don't seem to have got the rain at Grafton that we've had on the coast.
No, the track will be good here, yeah.
And look, will Cathy get back in the stable by the time the carnival's back on?
I think she's due back on Sunday.
Sunday, yeah.
I just sort of looking after things and a couple of strappers here. We've got everything under control.
Yeah, how are you handling some of Cathy's owners, mainly the owner of My Boy Eagle?
One's a bit hard to put up with, yeah.
Yes, he would be quite punishing.
Be, yeah.
It's a wonder he didn't... he will be telling you how to train them, though, I'm sure.
Oh, I know, yeah. No, you can't do anything like he can do it, so I've got to listen to him, my word.
Do those who want to advise pay a little bit more, do they? It's called idiot tax, I think, isn't it, Ned?
it'd be good.
Will we see you get a couple of horses yourself or not? Get back into it?
I'm after a couple. My plans were this year to try and get a couple and go out and do Batuta Birds with Baduri, but it might have to go in back burner at the moment, but that's the plans. But no, I've still got a license. I intend to get a couple now that I'm not doing much else.
Oh, you didn't think you're covering enough miles driving the floats and everything?
No,
you've got to give it and get to Birdsville.
I love travelling at the moment, yeah.
Have you been to Birdsville before, Nev?
No, I've been as far west as Windora and driven out there back in 1967 many years ago, but that's as far west as I've been.
You'd want one that could handle a firm track at Birdsville and wouldn't mind a bit of dirt coming back.
One that can handle the dirt, yeah. I went to Darwin in 2006 and 7 with a couple, and we had to have horses could handle that black muck they had up there. But anyway, we had a bit of fun up there too.
Well, speaking of what it was like back then, Neville, and you know, you're getting back into it here for helping Cathy out, what do you think is the major change you've seen in the last 10 years?
Oh, I don't know. Racing will go on forever and ever, but I don't know. Is racing still good? I love racing. Prize money's good. I don't know that there's been too many changes that shouldn't have been. Has everything seemed pretty good?
Is there something we should do?
Oh, well, there's always something. We could always look to make things better, but I just don't know what it is at the moment. Mm. But we keep looking to see how we can improve things, for sure.
Did you get a bit toe when you saw that country and provincial championship and the sort of prize money in that?
Oh, yeah, no, it's good, yeah. No, very good.
Well, we may see you back next year with a couple of horses to go around there with a bit of luck.
Yeah, big chance of that for sure.
Right. You'll be Birdsville. Where else are you looking to go into?
It's what they call the 3B meetings. They're all together. Batuta's the first one on the way out,
yeah.
Then Birdsville, then Baduri.
Have they got running rails or not, or just markers?
I don't know. Yeah, I think so, yeah. But you want something to go to the front and prove their position so you don't get dirt in your eyes. Yeah.
It must be wide Baduri when you say you go to Batuta, then to Birdsville, and then you go out to Baduri.
Yeah,
so
sort of a bit of a semicircle, I think.
Get to the end of the earth, turn left, and you've got 100Ks to go.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, good luck today, Neville, with Cathy's horses there. She's got four runners today at Grafton, and we hope you enjoy the Grafton Carnival. Will you be getting there for that?
I'll still be around here by then, for sure.
Yeah, good on you. Good to hear you back. And up and about, as bright as a button.
Great to be back and great to talk to you, Sean.
Good on you, Neville. Thanks a lot, Neville Stewart.
A very, very busy time, Sean, coming up for our country carnivals, major country carnivals. Of course, this time next week will be Wagga Cup Day,
yep.
Town Plate Day next Thursday, and looking forward to going to Wagga. Haven't been to Wagga since 1987.
Goodness.
When Volcanic Prince won its maiden down there. We didn't back a winner in 2 days. And we backed the last winner on the Friday. And in those days, Wagga used to race Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And we had to come back to Sydney for Saturday. But we backed the last winner on the Friday. Gary Buchanan rode it. It was a 33-1 chance. And we got out on the 2 days. So quite looking forward to going to Wagga next Thursday and Friday. Of course, then we go to Hawkesbury on Saturday. The next major country meeting is Scone,
yep.
A fortnight after 15, Hawkesbury.
15,
and then
16, yeah.
Grafton starts on, well, the carnival starts on Thursday, July 2 with Westlawn Cup Day. Winner of the Cup, of course, the Cup Prelude goes into the Grafton Cup. The John Carlton Cup, the winner of that goes into the Ramorny. Sunday, July 5, the South Grafton Cup. Wednesday, July 8 is Ramorny Day. Thursday, July 9 is Cup Day. And then Sunday, July 12 is McLean Cup Day. And no doubt my mother will be turning up there for Grafton Cup number 54
good
in
on
a
her.
Row.
Good on her. Fantastic. Yep. Then we got Coffs in August as well.
Yeah, well, Coffs in August.
Well,
first
August, yeah.
First Thursday of August. Darwin is on the Monday, and then you get home from Darwin probably Tuesday night and get ready to go to Coffs on Thursday. Thursday, Friday is Coffs, I think.
Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah, Wednesday, Thursday, Coffs, and have a day off and get ready for Saturday racing. That's not a bad week, is it? Darwin, Saturday, Monday, Coffs, Wednesday, Thursday, rest up Friday, back to City Racing Saturday.
I've got both legs of the double, I think. So,
And if you can't get to Darwin, of course, Forbes races on that Monday, Darwin Cup Day. So if you can't get all the way to Darwin, you can go to Forbes for Forbes Cup Day.
Alrighty, now, just before we go, anything we should back? Anything that stands out at the moment where there's been money for?
Well, the best supported runner with tab.com.au on the races tomorrow is Sri Candy at the Gold Coast. Sri Candy hasn't had a start since starting favourite in the Stradbroke last year. It's in race 7, the Victory Stakes. Been well supported, Sri Candy. Duff highlighted last night on Formline. It's had a couple of jump outs. Had a jump out recently at Caulfield. Speediness was in that jump out. Ben's spoke to Colin Scott this morning. But Sri Candy's probably been the best supported runner all day at the Gold Coast. And a couple of scratchings in the races there allows, or one scratching, Bankamo, allows Libaz to get a start now. And he'll be in the market, or he is in the market, for the Hollandale Stakes. I'll get the name right. The Sky Thoroughbred Central AD Hollandale Stakes. And for Sky Thoroughbred Central at the coast tomorrow, we'll have Greg Radley, Bernie Cooper, Carol Caroline Searcy and Brent Zarafa. For Sky Thoroughbred Central at Randwick, you'll have Ron Duffersey, Richard Haynes, and yours truly. And Richard Freeman will be in the studio at French's Forest. So a coverage not only of the Gold Coast and Randwick, but also Flemington for VRC Sub-Ledger Day tomorrow.
All right, good on your munch. We'll talk to you later on throughout the day.
Thank you much, Shawnee.
There you go, Glenn Munchie there, tab.com.au, getting set race two at Addington now.
Two here. I think it'll be one or the other. If Muster's Eye can jump, put itself in the race, I think it's the one to beat. It's got natural speed, whereas Gump's the name. As he showed first up, he missed the jump. He's got plenty of ability. He might just take a race or two, though. Gump's the name. He's got plenty of ability, though, and if he can get ahead of Muster's Eye early, well, he becomes